Welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. A UC Davis professor's new memoir chronicles her path as a dancer to a scholar studying hip-hop culture, which sparked while researching and performing hula in Hawaii, and it is all interconnected. The book's author is Halifu Osumare, a professor emerita of African American and African Studies at UC Davis, and they join us now with their new book, Dancing the Afro Future, Hula, Hip Hop, and the Dunham Legacy. Welcome. Good afternoon.
Thank you, Vicky. Nice to be here.
Oh, it's nice to have you. I was going to say, I love your title because it definitely piques like an interest, you know, hula, hip hop, and how it's all interconnected, and as well as Afrofuture, which we're going to dive into as well.
Okay.
But let's start from the beginning. How did you discover your interest and your passion and then the academia that followed behind dance?
Well, I started dancing in high school at George Washington High School in San Francisco. So I'm a Bay Area person who moved to Sacramento. And I was lucky enough to be in a high school that had an actual dance program as a part of physical education. And everything grew out of that. I decided I'd at least minor as an undergraduate at San Francisco State in dance. And my career just really blossomed from there, both in the Bay Area and all over the world.
When did the transition begin, transitioning from dancing to also academia, the academia behind dancing?
Well, I think for me, it began with my discovery of Black history, because I was I'm a baby boomer, so I grew up in the whole Black Studies movement in undergraduate education, and I decided I would look at Black history through dance and through my passion. And so I began to do research on that, and that kind of underlie my entire artistic career. I was always researching and choreographing and performing, and it was an easy transition into going to graduate school and becoming an academic out of that.
On the surface, we may think of dancing as a way of just simply performing or a form of expression, but within dance and movement, just like with language, just like with oral history, there is history embedded into dance.
Exactly. And so I look at dance as not just a series of steps and moves, but in fact, embodied knowledge. And I think that that concept of embodied knowledge definitely resonates in African-American culture, because movement and dance, along with music, has been one of the ways in which we as a people have survived.
You lead the book with Afrofuture, Afrofuturism. What are some examples of Afrofuturism?
Well, I think we know it in pop music. Take, for instance, Janelle Monáe and her iconography of androids and acronoids. But she's standing on the shoulders of people like Sun Ra and jazz, who even as early as the 60s said, space is the place. And what about Parliament Funkadelic that came down onto stage with the mothership out of space? So this whole idea of using futurism and technology in the arts has been a part of African-American culture for a long time. And I think the current trend of Afrofuturism is just growing out of that long history.
Your writing, it could have just focused on research in academia, but it's a memoir. You tie in personal experiences.
Yes.
How was that process, weaving in your own personal experiences as a dancer turned scholar, you know, studying and researching Black history, and then also all the research that you unfolded to so other people can learn?
Well, you know, I look at my life as a kind of microcosm in the macrocosm of the whole social, political, and aesthetic, if you will, scene that I have grown up in and hopefully influenced to some degree. And so I've always seen as my memoir writing and about my personal experience as a kind of smaller story within the larger story of our nation.
I also think there's a piece of agency in there as well, because as with some cultural preservation, it can be lost, you know, by you writing this memoir and the research behind it. It's preserving, you know, the culture and the history that's within dance.
Exactly. And I have actually developed memoir writing workshops, especially for artists and dancers, to begin to tell their story. It's something empowering and definitely gives you agency to be able to tell your own story. So now mine will go down for posterity.
By also telling your own story, I think people can connect with learning in a deeper way, because the more that you feel, the more that you're likely to remember. And so I also think just even teaching people in memoir workshop writing to tell their stories, it opens a gateway to actually understanding the history and the research that goes behind it.
Exactly. It definitely does. And I always tell my workshop participants is that everybody has a story, and you just have to find your voice and tell your unique perspective on your journey. And I love doing that, and I've found some great new writers to come out of my workshop that actually took my advice and began to write their own memoirs.
How did you end up diving into studying hip hop studies? I mean, I would imagine that is kind of a relatively newer field within the last few decades or so. I mean,
yes.
So did you have a hip hop scholar mentor that led you into studying hip hop?
Well, when I decided to do that as a part of my doctoral program at the University of Hawaii and American Studies, there was very few academic books on hip hop. And there were just a few journalistic texts that were out there. Nelson George had written a book around the end of the 90s. But I just felt like it was the next extension of Black cultural contribution to the world. And since I had been studying that through dance and how music was related to that, I just kind of looked at the youth around me and said, you know, this is really something, and they think it's going to be a fad, but I think it's going to stick around. And now, last year, we celebrated the 50th anniversary of hip-hop. So it's obviously entrenched in our culture now, a multi-billion-dollar business when it comes to rap music and all the clothing gear, et cetera. But also, it has a resonance around the world, and it has a resonance because it empowers youth to talk back to their systems of power and all over the world. You can't go anywhere on this planet and not find youth that are revising hip hop in their own image, in their own language, in their own movements.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned that there wasn't much literature when you started diving into studying hip hop and hip hop culture and how it's connected to Black culture and African American culture as well. Now, 50 years later, when you teach it, I would think there's an appetite for it, that you have students that are really interested in wanting to learn about it.
No doubt about it. Hip hop studies is now a discipline within academia all over the nation and starting to spread to other countries in terms of academia. When I taught the first hip hop class called Hip Hop in Urban America at UC Davis, immediately I had 100 students sign up for it from all disciplines all over the campus, and I had to have a waiting list. So I always tell my colleagues, we are teaching the hip hop generation, and if we can find a way of interesting them in education that's relevant to their own experiences, they're going to be able to learn a lot more the theories and the concepts that we're trying to teach them.
Another piece in your title is hula. So
yes.
How does hula fit into all of this?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, I got my doctorate from the University of Hawaii. And the book, Dancing the Afro Future, actually kind of begins in my transition from the Bay Area to moving to Hawaii. I had bought property in Hawaii and decided I wanted to live there and continue my graduate education there. And Catherine Dunham, and this is where the Dunham legacy fits into all of this, one of our first dancer choreographers to bring Afro-Caribbean dance into the concert stage. She was my mentor, and she told me that whenever you're surrounded by a dance culture, you have an obligation to partake in that culture. And so while I was studying for my doctorate in American studies, I was also studying hula, because hula was a part, obviously, of Native Hawaiian culture. And it allowed me to really comprehend and understand the islands and the culture that I was living within at that time.
Yeah, I think hula is so intertwined when you think of Hawaii, you know, but oftentimes when people go, it's a huge tourism economy as well. The history and the culture behind hula, that gets lost. It just gets, it just becomes a superficial version of what hula is to Native Hawaiians.
Exactly. And so I was not interested in the tourist gloss of hula. I was interested in the deeper cultural meanings behind hula, and I had to learn chants. I had to learn the flora and fauna of Hawaii and where to go and pick things to obviously make my leis to perform in. It was a whole culture that I was studying, and I found that I learned more about that Native culture than people who had been living there all their lives and had not partaken in that deeply into that culture.
The same could be said with hip hop as well. You know, you can view it in a superficial, surface level way. You know, you see it on Instagram, you're scrolling through pop culture, but it has a deep significance and history and culture embedded within it.
Exactly. All cultures do. All subcultures do. And so it behooves us to do the homework, you know, and not just accept the surface gloss that oftentimes is given to us about a particular culture that makes us have prejudiced ideas about that culture.
Finally, as we have like a minute or two left, I would love for you to read an excerpt from your book, if you wouldn't mind.
Oh, well, thank you. I would. It's actually the last paragraph. And the last paragraph really represents what I feel is what I want the takeaway to be for my readers. And it starts like this. My life has spanned the analog to the digital. I have lived through the Polaroid instant picture to the mobile phone selfie. And in each era, I looked myself straight in the eyes and saw my reflection. I have made the world my stage, as Shakespeare wrote in As You Like It. And it is so true. Today, performance has made a discipline of the performance of life in all its dimensions, from the political to the personal. And in our digital age, the personal has become synonymous with the political. The proscenium stage cannot contain all that needs to be said and danced. Taking the dance to the people where it first started, as Alvin Ailey told us, is important, particularly in these times of digital global connection, yet utter personal alienation. I urge all of us to take to the streets and dance the carnival of life with Afrofuture intentions, where class, race, ethnicity, gender, sexuality disintegrates into the bacchanal of our collective human identities. And as Amanda Gorman, the youngest National Poet Laureate, has said, and so we lift our gazes not to what stands between us, but what stands before us. We choose the divide because we know to put our future first, we must first put our differences aside.
Thank you so much, Dr. Osumare, for just all the work behind this and you writing this memoir.
Thank you. I appreciate you allowing me to be here and sharing it with your audience.
Halifu Osumare is a professor emerita of African American and African Studies at UC Davis and the author of the new memoir, Dancing the Afro Future, Hula, Hip Hop, and the Dunham Legacy. And that is it for Insight today. You can learn more about all of our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast. If you want to reach out to us, you can send us an email, insight@capradio.org. Thank you to producer Sarit Lashinsky and managing editor Aram Sarkissian. Our digital producer and audio engineer is Chris Feltz. Insight's technical director is Mark Jones, and our original show music is produced by Adrian Gilmore. I'm Vicki Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.